Big Smoke Music Weekly. It is episode 7, season 3 of Big Smoke Music Weekly. Luke Scanlon here, once again with Dave Bowen, bringing you another dose of the bangers, belters and beats, making us boogie in lockdown. In this episode, I'll explain my newfound love for the Bee Gees. Dave will be back on the news desk in Dave's Music News, and we bring you another top Big Smoke In Focus interview with Chris Smith, guitarist and singer from The Magic Gang. First up, the tasty new number from Egyptian Blue. That is Egyptian Blue there with their new one, Four is the Last Four. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 7. Dave, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Not so weekly. We're living up to our new name.
I was going to say, we're not doing the weekly part very well at the minute. Big Smoke sporadically at the minute, I think.
That new one there from Egyptian Blue, loving that. That's off their new Body of Itch EP, which came out last month in April. Also on Yala Records, Dave, same as Magic Gang. Chris will be speaking to later on. That was back in October we interviewed Egyptian Blue in the back of their van.
It was a long time ago now, so.
In Manchester. Yeah, that does feel like a long time. Back when we could have fun. But yeah, mate, they seem
The thought of having an interview in the back of someone's van now seems just completely wrong, doesn't it?
That's just completely illegal at the moment.
Yeah.
It does sound quite dodgy when you say it anyway. Yeah. You want to come around my van and we'll have a chat? They seem to be going strength to strength, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely getting better on that new EP. It sounds a bit more polished sound than it sounds good.
It is heavy. I've sent it to a couple of people in there because I remember sending tracks by them to a couple of friends before and they're like, meh. And then I sent this new podcast, Body of podcast? This new EP, Body of Itch, and they're like absolutely loving it, man. So
that's great.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. But yeah, Dave, one thing I did want to talk to you about is my newfound love for the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, you sent me a few tracks, and yeah, they're all right, but I just can't get the 70s band out of my head, so.
Mate, you're coming round to it, don't worry, you're coming round.
I can't say much. I texted you a couple of weeks ago, and I said I couldn't stop listening to ABBA for some reason.
Yeah, gimme. yeah, mate, I don't know, it was weird. I don't know what triggered my memory. I remember reading an interview with Noel Gallagher, like, years ago. And he was talking about how good the Bee Gees were in the 60s. It was all like psychedelic stuff. I don't know what made me think of that particular interview of Noel. And I was like, oh, I better check it out. Like, I'd never actually bothered. Because, yeah, everyone just knows Staying Alive and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then went back and I was like, oh, mate, this is, it's like a mix of like late Beatles.
I didn't even know that they'd done it.
No, I had no clue.
You know, you just think they're like a one-trick pony, don't you? Just playing some cheesy disco pop, and then
I just thought it was a load of fully grown men in very tight underwear.
They've almost had best of both worlds because they've made some actual good music, and then they just made loads of money making crap music.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I'm not joking. I've been listening to them so much. The other night, I was lying in bed and I went through every album. They've got so many albums, by the way, literally like over 10. And I went through every album and I was trying to pick out when it started changing. And it was around 73.
Must have changed something today, their inspiration.
Yeah, they had about 3 or 4
drugs
albums.
They were on, probably. That was it.
It was like, it basically just sounds like music made with LSD, their first 4 albums.
Yeah.
It's great. Anyway, right, let's bring it back to the present day and have this one from Crack Cloud.
Body.
Ooh, That was one of Dave's choices. That is Crack Cloud with Ooster Stew, which we have decided is Ooster Stew, whatever that is, and not Oyster Stew.
I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, because either they've misspelled it or they've just pronounced it differently. But
I'm just going, I don't know if, yeah, as I said, I don't know if it's a Canadian thing. I'm going with Ooster, Dave. But yeah, that was their latest tune that's just come out. They call themselves, Dave, the group, a multimedia collective of musicians.
Interesting. How does that work?
I don't know. And that made me think, what would we call ourselves?
God.
Dysfunctional collection.
Shambles, mate.
We were just chatting then whilst the track was playing about the just big 80s theme about.
Kind of, yeah, a bit 80s, and still a bit that old post-punky sound in it. Mm. So I always think it got a bit of Gang of Four sounds, which...
Yeah, yeah.
I like angular guitars and stuff like that. Sounds nice.
I like the, because I was saying to you, like, I was trying to pin, it does sound like one band. It'll probably come to me in about 4 weeks and you'll get a random.
Yeah.
You'll get a random.
In the middle of like, a conversation, like, over in porn. Oh, yeah, that's who it is.
You'll get me calling going, oh, who's this Jew? yeah, but I was kind of thinking, like, Human League, Flock of Seagulls, part of it as well.
Yeah.
Slightly Adam and the Ants as well.
Really, yeah,
different elements in it, but you can, I think, with that, because it's kind of like a broad sound, that's where you get that them being a collective that kind of comes through a bit, I think. But Dave, mate, I was going to say to you, one of the worst moments of lockdown, mate, I knew it was going to happen, it was obviously going to happen, but 110 Above being cancelled this year.
Oh. Yeah, it was almost those last dominoes to fall, wasn't it? Like all the early Doom ones went, and then it was clinging on to August and later, and then
that's because
almost I think it is when Reading cancelled, and that was it. Everyone else followed after that, because if Reading's not going ahead, then anything else is going to
the top. I think everyone, you're right, everyone was kind of holding out a bit of hope for August when they I love One Tenor, it probably is my favorite festival, I think, just because it's like the same people.
The lineup this year looked really good as well, so I was pretty tempted.
Abden, sports team, mate, pretty much every Big Smoke in Focus chat we've had there. Zuzu,
we'll do one next year. It would be great, mate.
Yeah, Big Smoke 2021 coming at you. But yeah, it's just it is shit, isn't it, when they get announced that they're cancelling. You mentioned their Reading being cancelled, and we've got to give a mention to our friend Harry for his sensational work.
He's found his new career as like one of those controversial commenters on posts.
Yeah. Miserable gits commenting on posts. That's probably the highlight of his lockdown.
He is, yeah.
So
I reckon he was showing a lot of people what his work as well.
Yeah. For those of you, well, everyone listening, whatever, a clue of what Harry posted. But basically, Reading put up there, "We're sorry to announce Reading 2020 will be cancelled, blah, 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 due to coronavirus." Harry's response to that on Facebook on their comments was, "I think you've done everyone a favour. Their lineup was shite." But you got like 200
likes. Yeah,
loads of comments.
He's ever been. That's his biggest statement of his life so far. So
yeah, Harry's found his calling. He can finally be miserable for a profession. It's ridiculous. But mate, I tell you what, I am finding myself just, I'm listening to myself and I'm like, mate, you are boring. There's nothing to talk about.
I try to keep up. I try to keep up with people, and then you have like two texts, and I'm like, that's it.
I know. Like,
that was pointless. So because I've got nothing to say.
Hey, I'm becoming one of those sad blokes that all they do is talk about cycling, because that's all I do. if it's not lycra on two wheels, I don't know at the moment.
Yeah. So went out, did another big one this weekend. Oh, great, then, mate.
Check out my Strava. Am I right? Right then, let's have this one from a great little band that you sent in, Dave. This is Dead.
Yeah.
With Lona, their new one off their latest album. When you sent that one, that was one of those tracks where you just instantly are like, yep.
Yeah, it's from the first note, I was like, ooh, catches your attention. And I just love the guitar sound of it. It's quite summery. So
I think the vocals just are like perfectly ride just above the riffs on that.
Yeah.
It just flows perfectly, doesn't it? It's beautiful. But yeah.
It's not one of the ones where it goes like too high. It kind of just flows all the way and like floats all the way through, doesn't it?
Dead, great little Chicago trio, man. So I think good little find on that. Going to be following them. I think that is a good little summer band, I think. I think time now to head down to the music news desk.
Dave's music news.
Right, Dave, what have you got for me?
Well, it's kind of everywhere, and it's the things we're talking about is festivals being cancelled left, right, and centre. There's nothing on now. But good news this week is Glastonbury is back, sort of. we all know it was cancelled a while back, but the BBC and Glastonbury have combined, and they're organising to try and bring us the magic of the festival into our homes through TV and radio. So basically, putting up on a load of old performances from the festival over the years, putting on a load of DJ sets from, you know, DJs live at home. They said they're trying to give the experience of the whole festival as a whole. So I haven't been, but, you know, there's obviously the Southwest Corner, which is the dance heaven.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Obviously, you know, it's probably not recorded, so they can't have old sets of those, but I think they're getting a few of the, you know, the favourites to do little DJ sets.
Absolutely.
And they're putting up performances from, you know, Stones, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all big people. And nice, the first time ever you can watch the David Bowie headliner act from 2000. It's been brought back for the first time.
That's cool.
I actually might watch that one because that would be good to watch.
You can listen to that. The audio is on Spotify, that Bowie set, actually. It's amazing. So I might have to watch that.
So it'd be good to watch it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, man, for sure. And Isle of Wight did the same thing as well, actually. If you look at it as like a lineup of a festival that was actually happening, it's ridiculous. Paul McCartney, Fleetwood Mac, Bowie, Iggy Pop, Red Hot Chilis, mad, man. It'd be so
That'd
good.
Be great.
I was just thinking, can you imagine just a load of people sat at home off their nut wearing wellies in their front room?
It probably will be, actually. Or just sat in their garden and just like, you just see cans strewn everywhere and it just like falls, some people passed out.
Yeah. And then you get like some bloke walking around telling you to put a fire out.
I did see a video of this guy who actually made a little Lego pyramid stage and had all Lego figures out, and he made his own little Glastonbury headliner.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looked really cool.
It was that was hijacked by loads of people, wasn't it? They kept changing like the band that was playing.
Did they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, because I'm a dork, I'm on like a Libertines Facebook group in it. It was like Libs headlining Glastonbury. So good, man. So, so good. Time now for a bit of this.
Big Smoke.
In focus.
We're going to catch up now with singer and guitarist Chris Smith from The Magic Gang.
Chris, welcome to Big Smoke Music Weekly, mate. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Guinness, I see. Chin chin.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, cheers.
I've got to say though, mate, I do usually have because I'm a big Guinness drinker, but I think once May hits, that's it for me on Guinness.
Yeah.
I'm usually a winter Guinness drinker.
Fair enough. I mean, for me, it's just about drinking it out of a can. It's just not quite the same.
Yeah, that is a man desperate to be back at a festival.
Yeah, do you follow the Shit London Guinness account as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And the other one is the Guinness Challenge as well. I don't know if you know about that one.
Is that when you land it between the hops?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Me and Dave went to Ireland not long before lockdown, really, was it? It was in February. For a 5 day, and just drink an unholy amount of Guinness, and mate, every pint just bang, trying to do the challenge.
Every pint is a Guinness challenge.
Literally
ridiculous.
Because you guys are you guys in a bit of a weird window because you've got an album coming out, so you're not necessarily writing at the moment.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a tricky. Yeah, it's interesting because we have got an album coming out. So we were meant to be on tour like right now on a support tour. It would have finished now, but
that was with Blossom, so there was, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that was unusual, obviously, to stop doing the tour suddenly, and now we're sort of waiting, you know. Now there's this kind of gap between now and when our album comes out, which is quite unusual because we were expecting to be doing a tour and stuff like that. So it is a bit strange. It is a strange time to be productive, I suppose. I don't think anyone ought to sort of pressure themselves into being productive in these times. I think it's perfectly normal if everyone just wants to sit around and watch cartoons. I think that's totally fine.
Earlier on in this episode, Chris, we played a track from Egyptian Blue. And they're obviously on Yala Records as well. I just wanted to ask how the kind of relationship is with Yala, because there's some great bands on the label. Are they quite loose with how you kind of approach your writing and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way that our relationship started with Felix from Yala was that he was just into what we were doing. So he's never really kind of, so when we did the first record with them, they never sort of pushed us in any sort of direction. They were just like, we really like what you guys do, so just do a whole album of that, basically.
Amazing.
And exactly. It is pretty much like that, you know. It's not that, you know, it's pretty simple.
Nice.
They're great guys.
Yeah, they do seem like a great label. Everyone I speak to within the industry, I hate saying that.
Yeah,
everyone says they're great label to be with. And then I was gonna say as well, is it Felix that sorted out you guys recording with Jesse Ware?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, he basically sent her the song because we wanted
care, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So we had this idea of re-recording it as a duet.
Mm.
And she was kind of someone that we would have always wanted to, because she, you know, she's an incredible singer, and the fact that Felix happened to know her was just like, oh, get in. And then So he just sent her the track, and she happened to really love the track, and she was kind of up for it. But we caught her while she was. An interesting thing about that is that she was quite heavily pregnant when we did it. But,
really?
And it was quite interesting because I thought she was. I don't know. Like you wouldn't. She didn't. You know. You wouldn't have thought there was. How do I? Like when she turned up at the studio, she was like quite heavily pregnant, and she was like, "Oh bloody hell, I'm pregnant and stuff." And we were like, "Are you sure? You know, like, it's thank you so much for coming, like,
thank you for
agreeing to do it, and like under these circumstances, like." And then when she sang, it was just like amazing. So it just goes to show like how incredible she really is, like, because she was just like, and then like, woo, like, you know,
You know what? That is definitely one of those tracks, because I'm probably one of the world's worst singers. It's one of those tracks that I'm like, I'd beg to be able to sing well. It's shocking.
And then,
I wanted to just ask, obviously, because you released a couple of tracks in the last sort of 2-3 months. It all kind of started with the release of Think. I think that was back in February. And then you've had two tracks since then. Most recent being Take Back the Track, which, by the way, Absolute tune. Love it so much.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you're into it. Glad you dig it.
It's great, man. It's great. It kind of seems like there's a bit of like a Northern Soul element to some of these tracks.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we sort of, when we were writing this album, we had a sort of phase where we were kind of unearthing all that kind of music. And I think it just kind of slipped into some of the songs sort of, you know, not subconsciously, but, you know, somewhere between consciously and subconsciously.
Yeah, sure. How, with, because I think the thing that people are drawn to you guys with, you have kind of got that like retro-y sound to a lot of your songs.
Yeah.
Did you like, because it always intrigues me how, because everyone always talks about the struggle of a second album, particularly with a band like yourselves that had a really strong first album. Did you have the conversation where you wanted to be like, right, this is what we want, this is what we need to do on the second album?
Well, I think the only conversation that we had going into the second one was just wanting to make sure we didn't repeat ourselves. So I think maybe we're a little bit more brave, and maybe we went a bit sort of deeper into our personal influences. But there was no, I mean, there wasn't, to be honest with you, like, as far as I can remember, there wasn't that much kind of second album fear. I think for us, I think the rest of the band are quite prolific, so it's kind of, you know, we were never like, oh no, what we're gonna do. We were always like, oh, we've got some more songs, we want to do some more songs, you know. So you know, you're obviously always apprehensive about how it's going to be received, but in terms of writing the album, like, we just wanted to just, you know, write, like, make more music. So
yeah, for sure. It was weird, mate, because when I'm, always pretend I do very detailed research.
Yeah, clearly.
when I was just looking up a couple of notes for this chat we're having, I was like, Jesus Christ, 2 years have gone by since the
first. Yeah, and then, I know, man.
I was thinking, I was trying to remember, because I think I've seen you guys maybe five times, something like that, live. And I was trying to think.
Amazing.
Trying to think of the first time, and you were probably the only highlight of a very miserable weekend at Truck Festival 2017.
Oh, well, that's very kind. I'm sure there was other good stuff on.
I don't know if you remember, because you played in the tent and the crowd was spilling way out of the tent. And
yeah, I think that was...
You all came on in matching raincoats, I think, from what I remember.
Oh, no, wasn't that best of all when we all wore matching raincoats? I don't know.
I think I maybe we did have a match that year as well. Maybe that was just your
I don't remember. I don't know what we were trying to do there, but yeah.
That was great.
I remember that being a great, like, Truck's definitely like one of the best places to play. Definitely.
Oh yeah.
It always goes off.
We went there, me and Dave went there last year, and the difference in weather from when I went in 2017 was an absolute joke.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Nowadays we'll take anything, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I remember because at that weekend in 2017, it rained all weekend. My brother lost his phone and his wallet, and then
mate.
I was just like, "Let's go watch Magic Gang." And I remember him saying, "Going, Magic Gang, what kind of name is that?" Yeah. I was like, "No,
do you know what? He ain't the first person to say that." So
I was going
to
ask, where did the name come from? Because it's quite like, it's just like a.
Do you know what? There's no real profound anecdote behind the name, unfortunately. What it is that when we formed the band, the intention was to have some kind of collective pronoun in the name. So we were like, oh, it's going to be the something boys or the something crew or whatever. So gang was just the one that we landed at first. And then the Magic Gang was like the first name that was thrown out there as a name for the band, and then we just couldn't come up with anything better, so we just stuck with the Magic Gang.
It does work really well.
what I will say in defense is that the better your music is, like, the more you can add gravitas to a terrible band name and suddenly it doesn't seem like a terrible band, like the Arctic Monkeys, for example.
Yeah, it's true.
That's an awful band name, really, if you think about it.
There's quite a lot, but no one cares how that blows my brain. What's that?
Yeah, like, you definitely get some funny looks if you told your friends you were going to call your band Pigeon Detectives. they'd be like, that's cool, like, have you got any other ideas, maybe?
Are you sure?
I mean, you want to call it, you know.
So, Yeah. Dave had a question.
Yeah, I've got to say, my favourite thing to come out of this lockdown is your cover of Arthur Fiend tune.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. A nostalgic thing for me. I just want to say, come along, or is it just what you've been watching continuously at home?
No, as far as I'm aware, the way that came about was because a fan had started a Twitter poll. Because basically, we'd been doing some covers anyway, and then a fan had done a Twitter poll saying, like, get the Magic Gang to play the Arthur theme song. And they did this thing where they tweeted maybe like once a day for about 2 weeks. And then eventually we were like, oh, we might as well just do it. So it wasn't our idea. It was a fan's idea, but we all watched that when we were kids and it's a great song. So it kind of
works in the way that you play it. Like, you can imagine it almost being one of the songs you would write. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Angus did a really good job of sort of singing that one as well. It just worked, but I think it was just the timing of it, and I think a lot of people kind of said similar to what you said yourself about it sort of hitting some nostalgic wave during a time of sort of existential dread and reflection. I think a bit of a remedy for that kind of thing.
8 years old watching Arthur after school as well.
Simpler times and all that. Yeah.
I think people are loving having some time to look back, I think, and actually properly listen to albums. Because me and Dave always say, Chris, because we do this like usually in normal life, we're working, doing this show, and it's like we listen to a track for like a couple of days or a week, and then it's like bang, onto the next one. So it's quite nice to sit down and actually listen to an album and kind of live with music for a bit.
Yeah, you definitely have a lot more time to get into stuff, don't you? Because I've been listening to a lot of, just listening to records all the way through, whereas before you might listen to one track, it's almost I've got nothing to do, I might as well.
What sort of stuff have you been listening to, mate?
At the moment, I've been listening to the Rolling Stones a lot, nice. I have to say. I'm going through a bit of a sort of classic rock phase at the moment.
Very nice.
And then I've been listening to some sort of South American, like Brazilian sort of stuff. Antonio Carlos Jobim, he's called. He's like, that bossa nova, music. Yeah, that kind of thing. And then, just oldies. I'm always listening to oldies, like, you know, like Benny King and...
Nice, good man.
Old man music, basically.
Beautiful. Well, Dave's going to slap me for mentioning them yet again, but go and listen to the Bee Gees' first album. It's incredible.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm a massive fan. I was just watching Saturday Night Fever yesterday, which is
Bee's
littered soundtrack.
The interesting thing is, I sound like such a dork, like I'm a proper like music journalist. The interesting thing is, Chris, their first album is like completely 60s, like psychedelia.
That sounds
like
interesting.
It's a blend of like late Beatles and like Procol Harum.
I like all that stuff, so I'll definitely check it out. Is it called the Bee Gees First?
Yeah, it's called the Bee Gees First, yeah.
All right, I'll check that one out.
Yeah, and then you're like, how on earth did they end up at Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah.
I suppose they're good songwriters though, aren't they? Songs, you know.
Exactly.
There's a really good video of the Bee Gees in the studio on YouTube, actually. It's like they're all being super weird. Like, I can't really describe it, but it's so weird.
Nice. Well, that brings me very nicely onto my next question. On videos, this video you did for Take Back the Track, like perfect lockdown summary of all of our lives just on Zoom.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Because it's like it's really well done and well edited. It's like really.
Yeah. I can't take any credit for that, unfortunately, but it was a great video.
That was your chance. So
we wanted to work with the director of the video, Georgina Camilleri, before the lockdown kicked in.
Right.
But then, obviously, because of the lockdown, we had to work within the parameters of the lockdown. So it was her idea for the concept of the video, and we wanted to do a video with a narrative.
Right.
And the original video we were going to do was going to be like cinematic and narrative based. And instead we had to make this kind of lockdown based video. But I think she did an incredible job and it's kind of funny, and I think it, like, I think despite the means in which we had to make it, it sort of turned out quite well, really. It's quite entertaining.
It's amazing. Have you, well, two questions, actually. Who was it who played the hacker in the video?
I have no idea.
Really?
A young child that the director must have sourced. I imagine probably a friend of a child of a friend, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I assume they're all proper actors, all the people that are in the video. That's what, from my understanding.
That's amazing. I love
they're all professionals.
Imagine that being like one of the things when like an actor like 20 years later is like, oh yeah, do you remember you were in this random video? And you're like, oh yeah.
That's definitely a thing. Like my brother's mate was in Kate Nash's video for Foundations. He was the he was the guy in the bed.
Oh,
that's
mate,
like, and that he loves talking about it as well. Like he's like, oh, did you know I was in Kate Nash's video back in the day.
He's been dying on that for years.
the way that they found it, he was literally just approached in Hackney or something by them, and they were just like, "Do you want to be in a music video?" And that's apparently how it happened. So
amazing! I love that. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Weird. And I was going to ask as well, have you guys with how it is in the video? Have you guys been rehearsing as a band virtually?
No, not really, because it's impossible. It's kind of impossible to be. Obviously, it's impossible to be in sync. So,
yeah,
we've mostly been as a band during lockdown. We've mostly been sort of writing music, sort of, and sort of sending ideas across to each other and stuff like that. So we've still been obviously connected, and we've been doing a lot of talking about what we're going to do next and writing, but no rehearsing, because you know there's no gigs.
Oh, yeah.
For the foreseeable future, so
weird.
No practice. I mean, I've been playing a lot myself. Pardon?
Have you been able to plan anything for like?
Oh yeah, obviously we've got. Well, we don't really know what's going on with the whole live industry, so everything that we had in the diary is kind of, it's still unknown yet when the right time is to come back and when we're actually allowed to come back as well. So all of that's still kind of up for, you know, up in the air.
Yeah.
But we have been sort of talking about, you know, getting in the studio soon and if we can. And
yeah, for sure, man.
Because, you know, might as well.
I think the one band that have become the kings of the lockdown recording of a song is the band you were on tour with, Blossoms.
They've done a lot of stuff, haven't they?
They've been incredible, yeah. How was it to tour with them? Because I'm
oh yeah, fantastic.
They're a great bunch, aren't they? I was lucky enough to meet them very briefly at work, and I couldn't get over how much they say sound.
Yeah, they are proper salt of the earth guys.
Yeah.
Really nice lads. They're great. They're just really great to tour with. Very professional, very talented players, very nice, great performers. Incredible live show, and they've always been super sound. Like they got us on the tour just because they wanted us to play with them. There was no kind of I think Tom got in touch with Jack and was just like, we need to try and sort of make this happen, sort of thing. So it was just kind of the result of us sort of trying to plan to do something together for a long time. So really, really good. Really, really nice guys, man.
Good stuff. And then
it was a great tour.
Yeah.
Before it got cancelled.
Were you going to play with them at Kentish Town?
Yeah, we were going to do two nights in Kentish Town, and then we were going to do the Manchester Arena as well, which would have been.
That was end of March, I think, wasn't it? Off the top of my head.
I think it's all getting rescheduled, so it will we'll pick it up at some point. I just have no.
I was meant to be going to the one of, I can't remember which date, one of the Kentish Town shows, and I was just like, it's cancelled.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? It's a real shame.
Yeah, there you go. One of those things, I guess.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, bro.
Man.
I was going to say as well, Chris, with the title of the second album, it's probably taken on a whole new meaning, isn't it, now?
Yeah, it seems a bit it's funny you say that, because even some of the songs on the record seem to kind of accidentally sort of forebode this kind of time as well. Like there's a song on the album called The World Outside My Door, which is quite funny. we had no idea this was coming, but now I feel like maybe perhaps, you know, I hope that we haven't sort of channeled it somehow. through the cosmos.
Exactly.
I hope not.
And the album's set to come out August 26th, I think, is the new release date. So how do you, because we talked earlier on about how like you feel about, you didn't necessarily have that sense of doom about the second album, but how do you feel with this one? Because you said you've kind of been a bit more free, a bit more confident with how you've gone about together. So are you, is this a proper proud moment for the band?
I think everyone's really pleased with the record because it felt like a lot of it sort of came quite quickly in a good way. And we all kind of managed to kind of pull together stuff which seemed to fit together quite well. And we didn't, there wasn't too much struggle in getting everything to sort of make sense together. So, so I think as an actual listen, as a record, it's a lot, I think it's kind of better than the first one in the sense that you can, it's got this kind of arc to it,
right?
You know, it's not like a concept album or anything, but when you listen to it, you know, there's something significant about the way the album starts and the album and the way that the album finishes, like the first few seconds of the start of the album and the final few seconds of the album. There's a thing going on there, so you know, without spoiling it too much, of course.
I was trying to think of what the concept could be, maybe like the adult life and times of Arthur.
Well, exactly. There was a kind of loose thread running through the album, which was basically songs about partying and then songs about reflecting.
Yeah.
So each song either features this kind of narrative about nightlife and sort of moments of euphoria, and then it also has these other songs which are about sort of reflection and, you know, at times self-deprecation and stuff like that. So so there is a bit of, you know, there's a bit of something going on.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Too loud to hear ourselves. And just then I heard something entrancing. I couldn't stop myself from dancing to a song that went just like this. She couldn't remember that song, so beautiful and timeless. In the light of dawn I found it. Could you play it all over again?
Ooh, take back the track. Do it again. Smoke Music Weekly.
That is the Magic Gang there with Take Back the Track, their latest tune off the forthcoming second album, Death of the Party, set to land on August 26th. And that is our Big Smoke In Focus artist for Episode 7, Season 3. Dave, what a good chap was Chris Smith there. Really enjoyed catching up with him. And it's quite nice to... is it weird sometimes surprise me when people are so chilled out in bands? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Probably got him a good time. Like I said, he's at home. He's just chilled out, isn't he? He's just wants to have a chat as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I wonder if we'd interviewed him when he's back in Peckham, he'd be like, all right, that's all right.
Yeah.
Really on edge.
Yeah, probably.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because they're kind of frozen in their tracks at the moment because of how everything is. They're probably like a cold spring ready to go, aren't they, Magic Gang?
Yeah.
Just waiting for the second album to come out.
Yeah, because it must be hard because you've got it ready and it was almost going to be released and it's like, no, it's got to be pushed back. And you're just like, well, what do we do now? We can't, like you said, like you want to be promoting it and doing stuff around that. And you can't really, like, I mean, maybe it depends. Some of them might be writing, but it's kind of difficult if you're waiting for something and you're like, well, you literally can't do anything. So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird as well because, like I said to Chris during the interview, 2 years somehow have flown by since the debut album came out. And then that gig that we went to, saw them at Kentish Town, I remember just thinking, like, this band, man, for 2 years, I've just absolutely smashed listening to them. Honestly, I listen to them so much. And it just felt like they do just feel like a gem, don't they? They've got a really, it's weird, they've got a big fan base, but like, I love telling people about them because
one of those bands where it's like you're in like a bit of a flux of you want people to know about them, but you want them to be your little secret that no one really knows about.
Exactly, yeah, because they are just they are so well polished, I think, aren't they? They're just such a tight band, and their new tracks just I'm loving that track we just played there, Death of the Party, mate. I've gone from having a jam, getting ready for a big night out in London to a jam pre-dog walk.
A jam pre-going down for dinner and a few drinks. That's it.
Yeah, a jam to fucking pick my phone up and call you. Get myself in the mood, having a dance in my bed.
And pre-quiz jam, that's it, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing that I'm just amazed. Why are so many people quizzing?
I know, it's meant to. Although, mate, I will stand by that you've done the best one that I've been a part of, mate.
I love doing it, actually. It's quite fun to do, but it seems people do like 4 a week. I was like, why?
I think you love doing it, though, because that's just the sadist within your character. You just like answering. Here's a tough one. Struggle with that, you little fucker.
I've said that and seen you struggle, so I don't
know. But yeah, mate, it was just great to get a bit of insight there, just like how you're saying... Felix White with Yala Records, how much freedom they have with their writing, and just sounds like they're kind of left, like they probably obviously get some guidance, but essentially left to crack on with it and do how they see fit.
That's kind of what you want from a band as well, isn't it? You don't want people controlling you, and I think from the music we've heard so far, kind of you can hear it in that.
Yeah,
there's just almost a bit like you said, a bit of freedom to it. So
exactly, and I hadn't even thought about like the theme running between those tracks. That's so good. It's kind of like the peaks and troughs of a night out and night after.
Yeah. And I like that because maybe the first album was a bit more of a collection of singles because they were probably quite a singles band and they released...
I think a lot of debut albums are like that, aren't they?
Yeah. But it's nice to hear them say this is a lot more of a comprehensive thing that's put together as an album.
Yeah.
Because I think I prefer albums rather than a collection of singles myself. And like things that need to be listened to in an order rather than just shuffle it. And...
Yeah, for sure, man. I think, what was I going to say? Hold on. That's what I was going to say. When he was telling us about the tour with Blossoms as well and like how professional they are and slick and stuff, I was kind of thinking it must be, I don't know if it's harder. I was trying to place myself in the shoes of a band, which I know is a hard thing to do anyway, because I've literally never been in a band in my life. But I think it'd probably be harder having a tour cut short in the middle of it when you've got the momentum of a tour, rather than it just being cancelled.
And just and trying to pick it back up again at the end of it, which is going to be interesting.
Because I reckon you'll have that weird thing. Like, have you ever had it where you like go back to a place like a year later or whatever with the same people, and you meet up again, and you feel like you're in a time warp, and you're like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Has all that time passed? Because they'll probably just meet up at a gig venue with Blossoms, and they'll be like, what?
It's almost like that's what it's going to be though, because it's almost like life's just been put on pause. Literally. Yeah. That's it.
I know. That's
what you've been up to. Nothing. Same. Yeah. Right. Let's get back to it then.
Exactly, mate. But one thing I will say about Blossoms, mate, because you know they've kind of opened up cafes and stuff like that recently. My mum's been driving me nuts, mate, because I don't have a car here, so I have to go in her car. And I keep putting on their new album, Foolish Loving Spaces, Blossoms, and she's like, "Oh, I do like the Blossoms." I'm like, "Mum." Just Blossoms, man.
Just no, man. No, she's like, really great.
Her argument, she goes, "But Blossoms, that could be anything. That I could be talking about actual Blossom." I'm like, "But you're not, though, are you?" Just like parents' logic, isn't it?
At Jane, she's got it. She's got nailed on there.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, man. You've ruined the music industry. Yeah. Tell you what, mate. I just changed my beer. I've had that weird thing, you know, when you drink one lager and then you switch and you're like, whoa, taste sensation. Your tongue can't handle it, can it? It's like, Jesus. Ridiculous. All right then, Dave, I think that's all the time we have for on season 3, episode 7. Gonna leave you on that track I was talking about earlier, the one that makes me want to get into a gig venue or a festival. A brilliant little Manchester band by the name of Pastel. 5-piece. And they've just got that look about them that they look like they've just stepped out of like the Manchester School of Excellence of like Stone Roses.
They wear sound like,
yeah, they've got that Stone Roses Oasis feel. And yeah, quite a young band, but the lead singer, Jack Yates, in his voice, you can just hear that swagger that is just like Gallagher-esque, isn't it? And it's just like, if you're a fan of Oasis, I think you'll like this one. It needs to be turned up nice and loud, this one. Enjoy this. This is Pastel and She Waits For Me. We'll see you again soon. I don't know when. Maybe in June.
Yeah, who knows?
But it's going to have to be in June now. Maybe July then. Maybe July. Anyway.
Big Smoke Monthly, mate.
Yeah. Well, Big Smoke Weezy. Yeah, does that... You've got the same ring? Big Smoke Music Monthly? I guess so.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Whatever.
We'll see.
We'll have a big rebrand. Right. Take it easy, guys. And yeah, enjoy this. This is Pastel and She Waits For Me.
Across